Let's pray together.
Our Father in heaven, it is with great joy that we come before Thy throne to worship and to praise Thy great and holy name. Father, You've been good to us all the days of our life, but it is a special privilege to come to Your house to worship. We pray that You'd bless us this day in our efforts to worship and praise. Give us of Thy Holy Spirit that He might lead us and just open to us the things of Your Word that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Thee. We pray Thy blessings upon those who are not able to attend Your house, those who are sick and afflicted, those who are bereaved and cast down. We just ask, Father, that You supply every need according to Thy riches and glory. Help us all, Father, to remember that Your grace is sufficient for every need and that You will stand beside us in all the affairs of this life and just help us to trust Thee, Heavenly Father. We ask that You bless all the churches assembled today and bless in the preaching of the gospel. But just now, would You bless me to preach Thy word and bless each one of us to be hearers and endurers of the word. Forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would invite your attention this morning to the book of Psalms in the 34th division. Psalm 34, I want to read the entire psalm, but we'll focus on just a few verses and mainly the seventh verse of this passage. This is one of the psalms in which we are given the circumstance under which the psalm was written, so we can have at least some view of the mind and circumstances of the writer, what he was going through in his life. And this is, of course, one of the Psalms of David. Psalm 34, and beginning at verse 1, David wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And they looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." As the heading of this psalm states, it is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So here's one of the perhaps darkest times in David's life. He is running from Saul, running for his life. And one of the things that marks this period of David's life, if we study carefully, I believe that it is a lack of faith. We've been studying in our Bible study about the life of David and many of his experiences. And he, just like every one of us, has those ups and downs in life. There are times that he was just what we call on the top of the mountain, but it wouldn't be long till he'd be down in the depths of the valley. So in this time that he was fleeing from Saul, I don't fault David from fleeing away from Saul because his life is in danger. And you remember what happened when David went to the tabernacle there and got the sword of Goliath and ate of the showbread. When Saul heard about it, he had all the priests put to death. So David, being in the land of Israel, endangered the life of others around him. So it was perhaps a wise move to get away. But it's where David went that troubled me and some of the things he did. He went to the land of the Philistines, some of Israel's greatest enemies. He went to Gath, the hometown of Goliath, whom he had slain, carrying that unique sword of Goliath, so that if David was not recognized, surely the sword would be recognized. It just seemed like an unwise move all the way around. And David forgot God's promise. He had been anointed to be king over all of Israel. And with that promise, his life was safe because the Lord was going to see that through. But David said, Saul will surely kill me, so I've got to get away. And the fact that David went without weapons, he did retrieve that sword of Goliath, but, you know, he met with Jonathan twice before he ran away. It looks like surely Jonathan could have brought him some armor and his own sword, but David just fled away unarmed. But don't we do that sometimes? We forget our shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and we go many times without our armor. And this, when David recalls this period of his life, it must have brought great shame to him, because the Bible says that he played a madman. He pretended to be insane in order to get away from Abimelech and from the city of Gath. It said that he scrabbled on the doors, scratched on the doors, and let his drool drip down on his beard and just look like an insane man. Well, in a sense, I think he was rather insane, forgetting the promise of the Lord. But then David, looking back on that and seeing how the Lord had delivered him, and he came to this conclusion in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then, I believe, through the psalm, he gives us that experience, how he came to be renewed in his faith. But one of the great conclusions that he came to in that experience is one that I want us to remember and to think about this morning. In verse 7, where he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Can you think of anything more assuring than to know that God is looking out for us and watching over us and keeping us? Especially when we stop and think who God is and what he is to us. That he is, first of all, he is love. So what God does will be done in love for his children. He is an all-wise God, so he knows exactly what we need. He sees the end from the beginning, so he knows what tomorrow holds, even though we don't. And he knows what we need today in order to prepare us for tomorrow. But just like David for a while let his faith lapse, we let our faith lapse so many times. And all our troubles and distresses, the worries and all of those things come when we forget that God is watching over us and keeping us, that he loves us and intends good in our life. One thing I failed to mention earlier in this particular period of David's life, Scripture doesn't record any time that David prayed or sought the Lord's will for his life. He simply ran and tried to get by on his own devices. I can relate to that because I've been that way so many times. something happens in our life, it causes fear or distress or whatever the case might be, and our first reaction is either flight or fight, without stopping to think, Lord, what would you have me to do? David finally was renewed in his faith, and this is the process that he went through. But he remembered that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now notice that he speaks of one angel. We talk about hosts of angels and legions of angels and all those things, but David was looking to one angel. In Scripture, the word that is translated angel in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew, and the same is in the Greek. It simply means a messenger, or one who is sent forth on a mission with a message from another. And sometimes just mortal men are identified as angels because they have a message. They're sent forward, and usually from God with His message, and they're identified as angels. And then there are those created spirit beings that we think about inhabiting heaven and being around the throne of God. But Scripture also talks about one great uncreated angel, the ultimate messenger of God that we know as Jesus Christ. And oftentimes in the Old Testament when it talks about the angel, it is talking about the second person of the Godhead appearing sometimes in human form. Now, I'll give you just a couple of examples in Genesis chapter 22. And I begin reading at the ninth verse, and this is as God had commanded Abraham to take his son and offer him as a burnt offering. Genesis chapter 22 and beginning at verse 9, and it's talks about Abraham and Isaac, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So here we see that it was an angel that spoke to Abraham and said, lay not your hand upon your son. And he counteracted an order of God. You think a created angel would counteract God's commands? Only God himself can counteract those commands. And notice that he says, For I know, the angel says, For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. So he identifies himself as being equal with God. Abraham was to offer his son as a sacrifice to God, and this angel says, You've not withheld him from me. So we see that that angel is Christ. In the book of Exodus, in the 14th chapter, as Israel had come to the Red Sea, as God is delivering them from Egypt, Exodus chapter 14 and beginning at verse 19. And the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and was a cloud and darkness unto them. But he gave light to these, so that the one could not come near the other all night. So here we simply see that the angel of the Lord was leading Israel out of the bondage. And from this passage, we might not have definite proof that that was Christ, but we find other scriptures that assure us that it was Christ that led them through the wilderness and to the land of promise. Paul identified him as the rock that followed him. They all drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. So he was there leading God's children out of their bondage. In the book of Isaiah, in the 63rd chapter, Isaiah chapter 63, and I read verses 5 through 9. Isaiah chapter 63, and beginning at verse 9, "And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and I will make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. And I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, and children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old." When David talks about the angel of the Lord encamping round about them that fear him, I believe he's putting his faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is wonderful to know that there are angels, God's messengers in heaven, but I would prefer to rely on that uncreated angel. Look with me now, if you will, in the book of 2 Kings in the 6th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I begin reading at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God had told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. A heavenly host, angels and chariots of fire surrounding. I just picture this in my mind. This servant goes out and looks around, and there's a great army, and I'm sure he was deathly afraid. And he goes to Elisha and said, what shall we do? And I see that old prophet as being perfectly calm, perfectly collected, and he said, don't be afraid. There's more with us than are with them. And he prayed that the Lord would open his eyes, and he saw this great heavenly host. But that great heavenly host was under the command of that one angel of God's presence. And read through this and you'll find that that army wasn't called to action. It wasn't needed because Elisha simply prayed and the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord may be pleased to have all the heavenly host, but how much more important to trust in that uncreated angel, Jesus Christ. Now, as we go back to Psalm 34, I want to notice something of David's reaction here. He begins Psalm 34 by saying again, I will bless the Lord at all times. And he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he calls on the people to magnify the Lord with me. In other words, let's praise the Lord together. Let us exalt His name together. Then David said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all his fear. It's one of the most important things that we can do is seek the Lord. You know, I think so many times maybe a false gospel has been preached and we've been taught that all we got to do is just sit back and wait for the Lord to take control of things. Well, the Lord is always in control. He doesn't have to take control. But we are urged to seek Him, seek His presence, seek His strength, and seek His guidance. In that great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, and verse 7, Jesus speaks these wonderful words. We see and we love the words, but I don't know that we put them into practice that much. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. There are times, I believe, that we're in fellowship with the Lord to the point that we simply ask. Old Elijah, when he saw that army, he just asked the Lord, open the servant's eyes. You know, that host of angels wasn't around about that city for the sake of Elisha. He was perfectly calm. But to assure that servant who was maybe not in the same fellowship with God, Elisha said, open his eyes and let him see. But even after seeing that host of angels, Elisha didn't say, Lord, have them to destroy. But he said, Lord, just strike Syria's army with blindness. He simply had to ask. But then there are times that we're not in fellowship when we have to seek. We have to bring ourselves back into fellowship with the Lord. And then there are times, I think, that we feel like we're locked out and we need to knock. But in all those situations, the Lord says that ask and you'll find. Seek and you'll ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And then notice verse 4, he sought the Lord and he delivered me. Then verse 5, David said, they looked unto him and were lightened. David is talking about himself and then he starts talking about others. The same things that were true to David are true to us. And every believer, all those who seek God and want to praise God as David did. And then in verse 6 he says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I think it's when we come to the realization that we are poor and needy that we really seek the Lord. I imagine David, as he was fleeing from Saul, may have begun to doubt himself just a little. But remember that he had that great victory over Goliath. The people of Israel had praised him. The women sang praises. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. David must have got to feeling like he was a pretty strong man and he was pretty able. But he had to come down to that point of pretending to be insane and scrabbling on the doors to realize how poor he was. But when he realized his helpless condition, then he began to seek the Lord. Look with me at the experience of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I know this will be a familiar passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning at verse 7. Paul wrote, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You know, Paul found himself prone to exalt himself. He could have got to thinking about how the Lord had appeared to him and all the things that the Lord had done for him, the things that the Lord had shown him, and got to thinking, you know, I'm pretty special if the Lord's doing all that in my life. But so he didn't get too exalted in himself. The Lord gave him that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasures and infirmities in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And I believe what Paul is saying there, when I recognize my own human weakness, when I recognize how powerless I am in myself, that's when I have to rely on His strength. And when I trust in Him and rely on His strength, that's when I am truly strong to do the Lord's will, to serve, to worship, and to praise Him. Now, one more point in closing. Psalm 34, and I know that there are many points in this psalm that we could make, but for the sake of time, notice the 8th verse. David has recognized and confessed that angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And then he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." In this psalm, David is really proclaiming that I have tasted the goodness of the Lord, or I have experienced His mercy and His grace in my life. And then he encourages others to taste and see. Experience for yourself the goodness of the Lord. You know, the things I tell you, I hope they mean something to you, but they're not going to mean nearly as much as the things you experience for yourself. You know, I can testify how good that blueberry pie that Sandra made was, but it won't mean much to you unless you've tasted it for yourself. And God's mercy and God's grace is the same way. I love to hear the experiences of others, but it just encourages me to experience more for myself. We seek the Lord. We seek Him through prayer, through confession. We recognize our own weakness. And sometimes, you know, we just have to go to the Lord and say, like David, I kind of messed up here. I failed You, Lord. I need You. I've just proved to myself how weak I am, and now I'm relying on You. And David's experience, when you do that, the Lord will hear, and the Lord will deliver us out of all our troubles. You know, I don't make light of it. We hear over and over how rough the past year or 2 years has been, and it has been, but you know, life in this old sin-cursed world is rough. But the Lord has been with us every step of the way. He's blessed me to the point that, again, I'm not making light of other people's experience, but these past years haven't been any rougher to me than any other year, because the Lord has delivered me out of all my troubles. So I want to praise Him, and I want to encourage you to praise Him as well. May God grant for Christ's sake is my prayer.